everybody to the October 76 and What's Next podcast. Me and my boy Lou Morado here. We're going to, you know, have a little conversation about what's going on with life. He's retiring soon, you know.
Yes, sir.
After, 25 years of service? 29 years.
No deduction.
He's been at through
the police department?
No.
Or different units.
When you were in the Marine, Desert Storm, yeah. Two tours in Desert Storm while we were going at war.
1990.
And then once he finished his tours, he became an officer, worked his way up to the SWAT team, K-9 unit. You know what I'm saying? My boy Ike, rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? Nice. Great K-9. You know what I'm saying? He put in his work. You know what I'm saying? Something. He had to retire and he missed the job and, you know, then my boy had to go. He stood on the SWAT, first K-9 on the SWAT team, right?
We had multiple K-9s assigned to the K-9 unit, but to actually really do like double duty,
yeah,
I think he was probably one of the first K-9s to do that, where we did the patrol work and we did the narcotics work, and then I would switch gears,
yeah,
and then I would go in the house also.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he was one of the first ones to do it.
Yeah, big. He did his thing, K-9 division, and now they went sniper, right? Became a sniper for a SWAT team, and now you're an instructor for a minute now, right?
Yeah, I've been an instructor since 2018, which is what we call a high liability instructor. So, you know, you actually have to get certified in different high liability topics, you know, like whether it be firearms, defensive tactics, taser, vehicle operations, and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I have all those certifications.
So how much time you have left before you retire?
What are we? June
21st.
So my last official day will be August 31st, which is Sunday, but I work Monday through Thursday,
yeah.
So like August 29th last official day.
So what's going to be chapter 2 about? What are you looking forward to after retirement?
Man, I thought I was going to try to take a couple of months off and kind of relax and regroup. But for me, like, there's no regrouping. Like, in 2009, I started my own business. Right? It's called Palm Beach Personal Protection Group and Investigations Agency. You can peep that out at, this is what do you call that? A plug?
Yeah.
ProtectingPalmBeach.com. You can see my website, all my certifications. But anywho, I started a business in 2009 where I wanted a plan B. You know, like, I don't know, for whatever reason, something happened in law enforcement where I would have to resign or leave or whatever, God forbid, that got never happened. But I had a plan B, you know, and I had all my certifications. So I do firearms training, and I can fulfill any type of security needs that clients may have.
Okay. And I remember you doing some, like, security, you know, detail for, like, fashion shows, jewelry shows, yes, that was going on in West Palm Beach.
Yep. So, again, I got my certifications because of all the different classes I've been through throughout my career. So I got all my, in Florida, you have to get Department of Agriculture licenses, right, security licenses. So I had all my licenses, and I was blessed by a mutual friend, you know, who passed a gig that he had with a very known jewelry diamond company in Palm Beach, and he kind of passed me the job because he was moving on to a different plan B in his life, and I kind of took over it and just ran with it, where I was providing, so I was like the second guy for the main guy. I was the second guy as far as setting up the details, providing the manpower, and then covering and moving merchandise from point A to point B.
okay.
So it was fun. It was exciting, you know, it's stuff that you kind of see on TV and now you're doing it.
Yeah, that's dope. So I see you have What's Next. Tell us about a little bit about What's Next and what your plans is with What's Next. What you see it, what direction do you see What's Next going?
That's a good question. So What's Next, I don't know, I was looking at a lot of different podcasts, right?
Yes.
Like we all do. And I said, you know what, I want to do the same thing. What does it take for me to do it? So I did a little research, and I was like, okay, now I know what I want to do, but how do I get the equipment? How do I go about getting the equipment? What I do with the equipment, and then what do I call the podcast? So, you know, out of nowhere, I was like, what's next? Like, what's next in life for you? So I'm like, oh, I'll call it What's Next with Lumarotum, because there is a lot of different podcast names with What's Next, but to make it different, I had to put my name on it. And really, it's just a platform that allows people like you, people from all walks of life, to tell a story, whether it be traumatic, whether it be a motivational story, whether it be, you know, any kind of story that someone is willing to listen to and it may change their life. Oh. That is what Next is all about.
All right. So tell us, what's some of your highlights from your career, law enforcement?
Oh my God, man. I've definitely been so blessed because on my last podcast, I spoke a little bit about, like, who am I, right? Which I should have done a long time ago.
Yeah.
But as far as highlights, again, I worked on a specific sergeant. I was a brand new rookie, a boot, like we call it in the military, yeah. You know, and I met a guy by the name of Danny Sargent. He was a sergeant, and that was his last name. And he took me underneath his wing because he knew that, you know, anyone that he saw that had good work ethics, was disciplined, polite, professional, and he kind of would shape you to becoming a good police officer, an honest police officer. So he took me under his wing. So I started out on patrol, like we all do. You got to learn how to handle the calls on the street and be able to communicate, right, with people, which is not easy.
Definitely.
Right? We all know it ain't easy. But everywhere he moved, I kind of moved with him. So I was very blessed to go from like patrol to a team called the Hope Team, which was a bicycle unit. It was like five or six of us in uniform, shorts, you know, bicycle uniform.
Yeah.
Not like a Speedos or nothing like that. But we used to work all the high crime areas. So they called it like, it's called HOPE, High Oriented Police Enforcement Unit. And on bicycles, as you can imagine, we could sneak up on people at night.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't even see us coming. So we would get a lot of guns, a lot of narcotics off the street and stuff like that. And then I just, you know, I kept moving from HOPE team. I went to like a jump out team, narcotics related, to an organized crime section. Then at the same time, I went to SWAT. I didn't just go to SWAT. Yeah, I had a tryout. I tried out twice. SWAT, and eventually I got canine. So like, I had at one point I had like two units at the same time that I was dealing with at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, I was managing two units at the same time. To me, it was fun because, you know, I loved canine, and then SWAT was my passion. So I did that, and then eventually in 2018, later on down the road, I got the training position.
Okay.
So those are like my high points in my career. You know, teaching has definitely been one of my better parts of life, because I wanted to make sure the same way information was passed on to me as a young officer, that I pass it down twofold, right?
Yeah.
Paying it forward to the young officers that were coming on, and make sure that, you know, they're gonna be able to survive the streets.
So what would you tell to some up and coming officers that looking to join the course, in West Palm Beach or New York or any other state?
What would I tell them? One, you have to be patient, right? A lot of us don't have patience. And especially, say you come from the military, you've been in a combat environment, you know, a lot of stresses in your life. You got to be able to separate that, your personal life from business life. And the same way, you can't take your business life home because it's going to create problems with a significant other.
Yes.
So you have to be able to manage your days at work, make those strictly your days at work, and when you're off, you don't think about work. You enjoy that time with your family. If you work overtime, then you work overtime, but you have to make time for yourself to be mentally capable of doing that job for 29, 30 years. So it's tough,
yeah,
you know, to balance it, but you know, especially when you work different specialized units, you know, some of those units require you to work late hours in the night. You're not working 9 to 5, you know. Bad dudes, the bad guys ain't working 9 to 5. They're working
24/7.
Yeah, 24/7, but mostly like, you know, 12 and 11 o'clock at night to 5, 6 in the morning, because they know Pope was sleeping.
Yeah.
Right? So it can be challenging. It can get in the way of your personal life, because, you know, your significant other's at home, your wife's at home, and you're out in the clubs trying to take care of business, trying to make deals and make connections to make the case.
Yeah. All right. So once you retire, what's the first thing you want to do?
Probably smoke a blunt. I'm keep 100. No, I'm just kidding. Really, just it's going to be different because I don't have to check in with anybody. I think that's the biggest thing with people that retire, is that you're changing your whole time schedule. You know, you're so used to getting up at, you know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock, whatever time in the morning. Really, I'm sorry, if you work patrol, you get up at like 3:30 to be there at 4:30. But if you work specialized units, you know, different time schedules, but just not having to check in with anybody.
Yeah.
So now you get to really do whatever your plan B is.
And what's your plan B? Talk to us a little bit about your plan
B.
And where, you know, how you going to achieve it, where you want to take it.
I know what my plan B, and that's not cocky, that's just confidence. Like Jada Kiss said, I'm not cocky, I'm confident. My plan B was, you know, when I established my business in 2009, and I love firearms, so I was certified to teach it, you know, and I went to numerous classes, you know, from armorer's classes where you take down the gun to minute little detail, you know, to just different shooting classes and stuff like that. So firearms training is going to be like my number one priority once I leave. And then anything related to the security field. You know, I like doing the personal protection. I can set up security offices in different communities, residential, commercial, to take care of the property. So I have options.
Yes.
I have options. So that's my plan B, and that's kind of how I plan on attacking it.
All right. And how about your plans with what's next with Lou Morado?
With what's next, you know, it's, again, for the last 29 years, I've learned how to juggle different obstacles, different challenges at the same time. So as I'm teaching firearms, I also want to build on my platform. You know, I see all these other different podcasters, you know, and I'm like, I have the same traits, the same skills, the same ability, you know, to do what they're doing. I mean, I have the sponsors, you know, the money yet,
yeah,
But we all got to start at the bottom, right?
Definitely.
So, you know, and which is what we're doing. We're trying to build this platform up. So I want to definitely build on my platform, what's next. And again, it's an opportunity for people like you, the listener, the viewer, to come on my platform, to come on Harold's platform, October 76th.
Yes.
Right? And be able to tell a story. And hopefully when you tell that story, someone may be going through the same scenario that you are, and it might help them. You know, so that's my main objective, and that's where I want to be. You know, we were talking about like layouts before, of the room and how we want to set. You know, things always change, so you're constantly moving.
Yeah, because I definitely had a plan. I'm like, oh, I want to set this up. I'm gonna order this for when Lou's in town. I'm gonna do this, and then next thing you know, little cigar table that I usually sit next to, smoke my cigar, drink my little bourbon or my little beer, whatever it is. But like, you know what? Let's just set up here. Everybody's trying to perfect everything. You just gotta just start, and you know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to show this illusion, like everything's perfect. But I'm like, today I decided, I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna go. I want to just show people how it's gonna get built from the ground up. Everything's not gonna be perfect.
100%.
Yeah, as soon as I get doing more podcasts, more interviews, you know what I'm saying? Like the first time we did a podcast, my ass was nervous. I didn't know what to ask, how to talk. I was like, quiet. But like today, it feels different. You know what I'm saying? It just feels different, but it's like always like, if like I always tell men, if I was in Florida living already, me and Lou would have been did big things already with the podcast. I will help him with his stuff. Yeah. But my knowledge of, you know, I'm learning. I read stuff. I test stuff out, you know what I'm saying? And then we'll be back and forth for podcasts. But everybody here be like, oh, yeah. And when the time comes, nobody's answered the phone. Nobody shows up. So, you know what? I text you once. You hit me back, okay, cool. You don't, that's it. It's not my loss, you know what I'm saying?
100%.
Don't beat me in the head, and then when the time comes, nobody shows up. So I'm like, fuck that shit.
Yeah, you can't like beg people like, yo, come on, and they kind of write you off. And then one day when you make it big, they're gonna be like, oh, yo, let me get on the podcast. You be like, nah, you showed me no love when I was breaking my bones and making my bones, you know, and, you know, hustling, doing stuff at a little garage. But really, it's not a little garage. This is a perfect spot to do a podcast.
Yeah.
But you have to start somewhere. And I think some people overthink it.
Yeah.
I overthink it. You know, you always want to make sure that everything's perfect. We started with a big white table, right?
Yeah.
And then we were like, yo, let's simplify this. You were like, yo, let's take the table out. And let's put just this. We're smoking cigars, having a little drink, and boom.
Like, we're kicking it. That's it. It's like everybody want to be like, oh, yeah. Like, dude, like.
We overthink it.
Yeah, I always overthink everything. I always be like, yeah, I got this deadline. The deadline comes, oh, no, I didn't do this. I didn't get this. I'll start August 1st now. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm like, screw that shit. I'm just work what I'm doing, what I record, and take it from there.
I was listening to who was that listening to? I was listening to a dude. It was this dude built a boat, a yacht. You know, I was watching his podcast the other day. The guy's name was Glenn something. And this guy, in the 70s, built like a 100-foot by 40-foot wide yacht. This guy had no training, no experience. Like, literally, his first boat, he flew to Taiwan, and he bought a boat, and he sailed it back to the United States with like six of his friends, and none of them had any kind of sailing experience. You know, and back in the 70s, they didn't have GPS.
No.
You know what I'm saying? They had Lorans, which was still weren't 100% perfect, but you really had to use a compass, a magnetic compass. But he said you know, he tells his story through life and everything. And he goes, I knew that I wanted to build a boat. I just, he didn't, there was no way to research it. So he goes, I just built it. And he goes, one day we were all sitting in the pool, chilling, relaxing, and he was still contemplating, like, yo, he had picked the perfect spot to build the boat. And he kept delaying it, like, I'm gonna build it. And one day he just, like, Forrest Gump, like, he, like, when he stopped running, like, yo, yeah. I'm tired, I'm ready to go home. He said, I'm ready to start building this thing. He got out the pool and started laying chalk lines in his big property that he had bought. And 5 years later, by himself, he built a beautiful ass yacht. It was called Kaleidoscope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was badass. And he did a lot of runs down from Mexico to, like, San Diego. That's where the yacht was based out of. It's a deeper story where the cartel kind of gets involved and shit like that, where they stole this boat. But it was just getting off your ass and doing it. Like, stop overthinking it and just do it.
Yep.
So it was a great story. I heard it the other day, and it was like a 2-hour story. But it makes you think.
Hell yeah.
Like, don't procrastinate.
Yeah.
Just get off your ass and do it. Like, with the podcasting, like, we could still be thinking, like, yo, we're going to do this one day. But yet, you know, like, you come down to Florida, we do a podcast. I just flew up to New York, and I said, yo, let's do a podcast. And we do it. It may not come 100% perfect, but we're going to give you the best that we can right now with the equipment that we have.
Yep, definitely.
So,
you toast. Thank you for flying down for my son's graduation.
Sir. We're here for Harold's
graduation. He graduates tomorrow. He's my son's godfather. Always been there. Him and Betsy and family always been there for me through good, bad. You know what I'm saying? I done messed up before, but. You know, they let me know, yo, you can't be doing this, and they still have my back, and, you know.
You can't judge people.
Can't judge, because you don't know what
somebody's going through.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to need you to be like, yo, I need your help, you know, so you can never judge people. Don't ever judge a book by its cover, like they say, it's true.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because there's some people are really good people, but just something unfortunate happens in their life.
Yeah.
You know, and that's life. You're going to have obstacles, you know. I mean, it depends on how big the obstacle is, but you're going to have obstacles. But you got to have a good support system, and no matter whatever you do.
Now, thank you for everything.
Nah, you have to thank you. That's family. That's family, man. We always will be here for you and your family and Lil Harold and everybody. But yeah, man, it's you gotta get off of your ass. If you're thinking about doing something, do it.
Yeah.
Don't just sit back and
stop waiting for the perfect moment. Ain't no perfect moment.
There's no
the perfect moment is as soon as you hit record or you start running the track or you start lifting those weights, whatever you wanna do. You know what I'm saying? That's the perfect moment. It's the minute you get up off that couch and say screw it and start doing what you say you was gonna do, that's the perfect moment.
Bro, I'll tell you a story. When I first, like, thought about doing the podcast, I was like, you know, like, man, I can't afford to buy all this equipment, you know, and drop it just like that right now. Because, you know, like, both my kids were in college, you know.
Oh, yeah, and congratulations for Brian's graduation.
Thank you. So, you know, like, your money is, you have a budget. Your money is allocated to make sure your kids are going to succeed in life, you know, and you're going to be able to provide as best you can. And this was more of a side thing, right?
Yes.
Right now, it's a side thing. A lot of people have made millions of dollars of podcasting, but it's not overnight.
Nope.
You know, so when I first thought about it, I was like, yo, how am I going to buy this equipment? And, you know, so I started reaching out to people that I knew that were in better positions in life than I was. And I was like, hey, would you be willing to help me out? You know, and would you be willing to sponsor? I need this equipment, I need that, you know? So, and slowly but surely, you know, I thank those that have supported me in my podcast to purchase the equipment, to have the venue to be able to do the podcast. You know, they just constantly supporting. You know, yes. You know, you need people like that in your life that support you.
Definitely.
You know, but yeah, man, you gotta hustle. It's like that saying in the military where if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
And I constantly say that because I've heard it. You know, I was in the military, so I heard it. But if it was easy, everybody would do it. You know, if it was easy to be a doctor, everybody would be doctors, attorneys, you know, or if you're in the military, in special operations or whatever. Nothing in life is easy. You have to bust your ass. You gotta, you know, make your bones and show people, like, yo, I worked for this. It wasn't given to me. You know, yeah, the equipment might have been supplied, but I put the material in. I got the guests.
You have to
know,
put that work in. Yeah.
You got to put the work in.
You have to reach out to people, be like, yo, you want to do this? They'll say, yeah, when the time comes, someone might not show up. You got to look for someone else. Everybody's always telling you, yeah. And when the time comes, that person don't show up, then somebody finally shows up.
Yeah, 100%. You know, like even like when I first became a police officer, like I never thought I would be in this position.
Yeah,
I never, like when you first get hired as a cop, as a law enforcement one, you don't think about retirement.
No,
that's so far down the road. You're just thinking about like what's gonna be my next step. What's next? And luckily, there's still good people in life that are willing to take you under the wing. Because they see your work ethics, you know, what our parents taught us, what our family taught us. And, you know, it's nice to know that somebody has your back and they push you towards another position, I can 100% say, like, nothing's ever been given to me. Did I have a little bit of edge? Yes, absolutely, because of who I knew. But it was given to me because of my work ethics, because of, you know, and that's not like me ringing my own bell or whatever, but I know I busted my ass. You know, I got plenty of scars on my body to show that, you know, like I bust my ass in everything I did. So I was very proud to be able to serve. You know, like it's kind of weird because I think that some people are born to like, serve others, you know what I mean? Like to be a protector, like that's just in our gene pool, in our blood. Like, you know, for me, I wanted to go in the military, but before going in the military, like I remember I was in church back in the days, and I was part of the like the Royal Rangers. It was a church, you know, but it was like Boy Scout kind of deal.
Yeah,
and, you know, you learn how to live on the outdoors and all this stuff. But from there, you know, I ended up going in the Marine Corps. I'm serving my country. I get deployed overseas. My brother was deployed also. And then I get out. But before I even get out in 1987, 88, I applied for the New York State Police test.
Yeah.
And I was like numbered like 10,000 on the waiting list. So I went in 1990, and they didn't call me till 1993.
Okay.
3 years later, I'm sorry, 87, like 5 years later. 6 years later, they called me and said, yo, we have a seat for you. Knowing what I know now, I'm like, thank God I let that seat go.
Yeah, right. Because
I would have been handling accidents on the thruway, 95 or whatever. I didn't like dealing with accidents and traffic tickets.
Yeah.
I wasn't that person. You know, my stuff was like narcotics investigations, that type of job. So... But it's been a great career, man. I'm excited that it's coming to an end.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait for all this to get here. You know, I think I already have most of my stuff bagged up in hefty bags, you know, ready to be turned in.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly, like, posting stuff on Instagram and Facebook, you know, like, yo, retirement day, countdown calendars, all kind of shit like that. I'm sure people are probably tired of seeing it, but keep it moving. Go to another page. You don't want to see it, you know? And again, that's not being arrogant. It's just, that's me being me. That's who I am. know, you gotta love it or leave it.
Yep. What's that new saying?
If it was easy?
No.
Oh, no. Hold on for a minute. Now you got me thinking here.
Ah.
The other day I made it up. Refresh my memory.
Always working because someone's.
I said, I put a meme up the other day or a post on Instagram, and I said, I'm always hustling, always grinding because somebody's watching.
Definitely.
And that's all it takes for one person to recognize the work that you're dishing out, you're putting out.
Hi.
And that person might be like, yo, he may have the funds. He or she may have the funds to say, yo, that guy's got that fire I'm looking for. Maybe, I'm going to bring him in and let me talk to him in person. And then if he or she likes you, they'll be like, hey, listen, I'm going to set you up in this office. You're going to do this. You got your engineer. You got a team now. Right? You know, because right now, like you, we're doing it all by ourselves. And the hardest part with them podcasting is the what? The editing. Lord have mercy. God, it kicks my ass, but slowly but surely, you know, it's like you're editing, Google, you know, and half the time it comes out bad as far as trying to save it, trying to add thumbnails and all that stuff, but hey, every day you learn something different.
Definitely. Oh man, did that die out?
Don't you quit on me. Don't let it quit on you. Sometimes you got to shake it. Yeah, she might be dead.
Yeah, I didn't fill it up with the
gas. But yeah, man, let me ask you a question. I'm going to kind of flip it around you. Tell me about your podcast and what you trying to do.
I'm trying to reach out to those who, like, try and change their life. Lifestyle, you know what I'm saying? From where I came from, I'm like, let me see. A lot of people I don't admit, like, they've been through stuff, but everybody want to act like they perfect. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, before I used to deny, I'm not mad, I'm not this. Yeah, I had some anger issues, but as years went by, now finally I'm starting to change, you know what I'm saying? Because of my situation. I'm maturing, and where before I would be like, now I'm like, oh yeah, I just fall back and hit them with something else, and everybody's like, yeah. But nobody wants to admit, you know what I'm saying? Everybody thinks, want to live this perfect life, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you have a problem, just admit it. If you have anger issue, admit it. If you just someone who wants to keep people, admit it. You know what I'm saying? So instead of just like, oh no, I don't got anger, denying shit, just admit to shit. You know what I'm saying? That's how you're gonna grow. You know what I'm saying? That's how you'll grow. Just admit where your faults are. Nobody wants to admit their faults. Everybody wants to act like they're perfect.
Especially
now too, with social media, everybody's like, oh yeah, people don't want to admit this, but I'll admit, no, you're doing it because
you're looking for likes.
For likes, and you're looking for approval of people. I'm like, I post what I want to post. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? There might be sometimes I post some crazy shit because I'm not going to lie. Maybe I was fucking drunk and pissed off.
Yeah.
And then I wake up the next day, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. I ain't fucking perfect. Yeah. Everybody want to act like they perfect. Act like, everybody want to put everything on social media, throw them little indirects. But meanwhile, you'll turn around 10 posts later of yours, the same shit you talk shit about somebody, you posting it. That's what's fucked up. Everybody's living off. Mostly everybody's living off based off of social media. What to show? If there was no social media around, like,
half of people wouldn't be known.
Yeah, you won't be known. People won't you won't be making up all these fucking lies. Like, come on. People you grew up with, people that's around you, know the truth about you. So you might lie to those who don't know you on social media, but those around you and those that know you grew up with or whatever know it, but then when somebody calls you on your bullshit, they're a hater. No, it's not a hater. It's just staying the fact because you keep talking shit.
Yep.
Acting like you're better than people when you're not.
That's
you know what I'm saying? So I was like, so I got to the point where I'm like, I don't care. People can say whatever I want to say. Yeah, I might post some shit because I'm fucking drunk and whatever, but it's not like I'm getting drunk every day. I handle my responsibility, take care of my family, my son, make sure he's good, you know what I'm saying? Reach out to those who I have to reach out to. So now I'm like, okay, as I'm growing, I see there's like, it's like everybody wants to live this image, like.
Yeah, you have to be perfect.
Not, you just have to be perfect. It's like everybody wants to be street. Where probably 90% of the people who want to be street.
Not from the street.
You're not from the street. You ain't do shit. So, oh, I grew up this and that. Come on. If you're from Yonkers, you went to Catholic school, you lived on New Main Street, and you lived like Park Hill, like, come on, everybody makes it seem like Yonkers was so bad back in the days. It was good, you know what I'm saying? Don't act like you've been through a struggle when you haven't, especially going to Catholic school like I did and some of these people have gone. But, like, and there is people who done went through struggle. They went through their problems, got locked up, yep. Come home. And there's no, a system to help them grow. You know what I'm saying?
Like, to kind of like re-enter
society. Yeah, re-enter
society. In a positive way.
Yeah, in a positive way. Like, sometimes I wish there was a positive way for me to re-enter society, but it wasn't. It was just like family members and, you know what I'm saying? My family's good.
Pretty much that's it, family members, that's it.
But there's other things you need to learn once, especially you've been gone for a while and then you left society one way, and when you're coming home, it's a whole different story.
It's the whole world moved.
Whole world moved.
When you were sitting still.
There's things you need to learn about where, how not to... It's upon you if you want to get in trouble or you want to continue living that life you was living before.
That's definitely up to the individual.
It's up to you. Yep. You know what I'm saying? But if you really want to change, what is there out there for you? What outreach is there for you? Is there anything that's going to teach you about? And if there is something, they're going to charge you, like job placement, credit, you know what I'm saying? How to build credit so you could, like, get a house, stuff mm-hmm. like that, you know what I'm saying? How to start a business. So if, let's say if you can't get a job, if you know something, if you was in there working out, come home, become a trainer, how you go about that, starting a business, websites, podcasting, you know, yeah. Design, different stuff. But that's what I'm trying to do, like, change everything. Not change it, but teach people. How change, that's what I told 76 about, a lifestyle, helping you get healthy, you know, fitness, business.
How'd you come up with that name?
October 76, mm-hmm. Like, I kept trying to find these fancy names, and I was like, wait. So just one day I was there, and I was like, wait, I was born October, the year 76, so I was like, October 76, I kept saying, like, you know what? That sounds cool. I'm like, not that it sounds cool, but I'm like, that's me. That's something that's part of
it's
me.
It's personable.
It's personable. It's not like, oh, I went and made it up. Like, oh, D-Block, Lox, so right. It, stuff like that. So that's what it came about. And
one of the things that you said, that, yeah, everybody's trying to live on it, a perfect image off of social media. But hey, a lot of, you know, I'm gonna say a lot of people. I think most people, well, let me change that. I'm gonna give you me. Like, I post a lot of shit with my family and this and that, but I really have nothing negative to say. So when I post a you know, a lot of people say, oh, you should keep your, like, your personal life away from, like, your business site and this and that. But then I'm like, I want people to see, if you look me up and you think of hiring me, I want you to see who I am as a as non-business compared to business. You know, as a professional, you know, to me it's okay. You know, society has changed compared to where I used to be. Like, yeah, you got to have a separate website, a separate page for your business, separate page for your personal life and that. But I, if you're a client, yeah, and you and you call me and I say, oh, Harold, this is my website, here's my Instagram page, here's my Facebook page, and I want you to see, I think as a client, I would want to see, like, yo, what kind of person are you away from this business? Like,
exactly.
Yo, in my opinion. Like, yo, I want to see how you act on your days off. You know, are you a family guy? Because that's not going to be in the resume, I'm a family guy. But if I see pictures of you hanging out with your wife, your husband, or whatever it is, you know, and you're doing the family thing, like, all right, this guy's business-oriented, and he is family-oriented, I think that's the kind of employee I would want to have. So that's one reason, like, why I keep myself together. You know,
I definitely feel that. Everybody want to separate the both. Meanwhile, they have their personal life private, and they're posting some dumb shit.
Yep.
But here's your business page, and you're acting like you're this.
Everything's perfect.
Perfect. No, you got to see the down, the bad with the good. You know what I'm saying? You can't.
100%. 100%. So that's one of the reasons I do it. I think a client appreciates it more when you're showing the full cake,
yeah,
not just a slice of it, you know. So I'm not gonna change it, you know. People keep telling me, "Yo, keep it separate." I'm like, "Nah, you do you. I'm gonna do me."
Yeah, because that's the thing. Everybody wanna follow the same guideline. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm a podcast, and I want to be like so and so, or I'm gonna be better than so. No, it's not about being like so-and-so and then taking it up a notch bigger than him.
Yeah.
You got to be yourself and be better than yourself and bigger than yourself. And eventually, because people's going to see, like, oh, you're trying to outdo this one. You're trying to outdo this one. Just right. Be yourself and that's it.
Yep.
Let the fans, the people who follow you, be the judge of that. Instead of being like, oh yeah, I did more views, got more hits, you know.
But you're living a lie.
Yeah.
That's
why you, like, with your podcast, you straight up, you know what I'm saying? You talk, you know, we record and we put it out there where we record it. We don't try edit or nothing. So it's like,
shit. The only edit is putting, like,
titles and that's about it.
And just trying to make it a little pretty. But
yeah.
We ain't changing words around, or, you know.
Nope.
One, I don't know how to do that yet.
Right.
And not that I would, but, you know, it's a process, you know. Everybody thinks, like, podcasting is so easy. It is. Anybody can buy equipment, set it up, and record it, right, where we're speaking. How your skills are as an interviewer is very important, right? How you speak, how you articulate yourself, your vocabulary, you know. But it don't mean you gotta try to speak like you're a PhD with 30 degrees, you know, with all these alphabet letters behind your name. You know, you gotta be yourself. If you're from the streets, you speak like that. And people that recognize real are gonna appreciate the material that you're giving out. And I think people that recognize real and see you dishing out something that's not you, they're gonna call you out on it and say, yo, that ain't you. Why are you pushing out that fake material? There was something else I was going to say, man. I lost my train of thought. But it was about being original, you know? Like you said, like, everybody's trying to dish out, you know, like, say Joe Rogan, right? One of the biggest podcasters in the U.S. or in the podcasting world. But everybody want to be like Joe. I don't. I want to be Lou Maroto, you know what I'm saying? Now, I can learn some things from the Joes and and different podcasters, you know, I can learn things of how to put my material out, but I'm not trying to be them. I'm trying to be me, you know, so I stay humble, you know. If my head gets a little swollen because something good happens, yeah, somebody's going to humble me down. And we all know life can humble you down real quick. But I want to go back to what I just remember what you were talking about, like resources, trying to come back into a normal situation.
Yes.
When you get put in an uncomfortable situation, you're right. Sometimes the resources are not there, and I speak on the side of, say, the military, you know. In the military, when you got ready to exit or separate from the service, they did a separation class. But it was a bullshit class,
yeah.
You know. It was more like checking A's, checking the boxes. I checked this equipment in. I saw this dude. I saw the recruiter to see if he wanted me to stay another 4 years or whatever. But it's not a hardcore re-entering society because you know, now you kind of like, in a way, you're institutionalized as a military person, right? Regime. Yes, sir, no, sir. And now you re-enter society where people don't speak like that. So, like, how do you re-enter society? And then what resources do you have available for me to, like you said, get a job, right? Go off the bat. Because I remember when I got out, I was working, like, 3 jobs, you know, and I collected unemployment. Like, it got me in trouble because somebody wasn't paying me on the books. But, you know, you have to work the system to the best you can.
Yeah.
Because you got to feed your family. And the military doesn't give you money, a stipend, when you get out. So you have to hustle to feed your wife. And I only had 1 child at that time, but it was still rough.
Yeah.
So, there's got to be better system in place to help you re-enter back into what we call society.
Especially for military, they're like on the line for our freedom, you know. It's like they go out there, some go to war like you, and come back to society, like you say, you have worked 3 jobs. There should be something lined up. There should be, especially like coming from military background, working, be able to go straight to the law enforcement, security, you know, stuff like that.
It was tough. Now, the only good thing I can say is we have the GI Bill, right? And with the GI Bill, a lot of it's changed since I got separated in 98 and 94 from the military. A lot of it's changed now. I think you can actually pass it down to your children now. You know, where you can say, listen, I'm not going to use this, so I'm going to pass it down to my kids.
Okay.
Use the GI Bill. I believe that's a fact, but don't quote me on it. But when I got out, you had 10 years to use whatever was left balance. You were given like $10,000 on paper for educational purposes. So I used like 3 off the bat to go to the academy.
Yeah.
But then that's it. I never used anything else, so $7,000 just the government just kept.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that they're going to give you cash, but because I was, okay, now I got my law enforcement certification, and now any classes that I go to, the department pays for them. So the GI Bill now is just in limbo.
Yeah.
And they're like, they hope you die, or they hope you forget about it.
You are currently,
but they're going to take that money back and reapply to another person is about to separate.
Yeah.
Or another person that just got enlisted, you know? So it's there's still, I'm a big believer that the system does not work for everybody. And again, mind you, being in law enforcement for 29 years, I know for a fact the system does not work for everybody. And it sucks because it could put you in bad situations. You know, but the only thing I can say is that if you are put in some kind of situation like that, is to speak to people that have been or came from the same position that you're in now? You know, like someone who's been through the same experience. Like, what's your advice? What should I do? What kind of attorney do I need? What are my options? How can I work the GI Bill? Can my kids, you know, like you have to ask questions, you know?
Yeah.
You have to ask questions. Even like, even for me right now, retiring from law enforcement, like we don't have a separation class. And that's sad. That's sad. Like 2024, like you don't have a class to say like, all right, listen, these are your options that you have when you retire. If you need to supplement your pension, right, which works, say for us, it works on the best 3 years of your life of city overtime. Yeah. Like, how can I supplement, if I need to supplement, because the way society is nowadays and real estate and everything,
yeah,
if I need to supplement my income, how do I supplement it? Like, they don't just come out and tell you, like, yo, we're going to have a class, and it's an 8-hour class you're going to learn. Option A, B, C, D, E, whatever. No, I have to see to Power, who retired 10 years ago. I have to speak to Ralph, who retired 5 years ago, and I have to extract information from all these people, and it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
You know, especially after, you, like, again, you served 28, 29, 30 years, whatever, and you got to figure out the information for yourself. And we have unions, you know, and yeah, like everybody else has unions, but sometimes just people that are in those positions are too fucking lazy to put the damn class together. It's not my job.
Yeah.
All I can do is continually harp on you. You're the president or whatever the unit. Like, yo, Harold, we need a class. Put a class together. Like, get the right resources to come together and invite all these people that are about to go into this program and give us the options. But they don't do that. You know, and it's to me, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Because, again, I have to extract that information from other people. Which I should. I should just be able to go to the class, take my notepad, and say, okay, if I need to supplement my income, I can do it off of interest.
Yeah.
I can take a loan off my accounts or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it just goes deeper and deeper, man. Just,
yeah.
It ain't easy. It ain't easy. You got to figure it out, unfortunately, on your own. And you figure that we have learned over the years to make like life easier for ourselves, but we haven't. We keep trying to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
Right? It still goes in a circle, it still goes round and round, and we keep trying to reinvent it.
Yeah.
So, but that's life, man.
Definitely is.
That's life, so. But you know, I'm blessed. I'm glad I came up here to New York this weekend. I'm celebrating my godson's graduation, changing the subject completely. You know, let's go back into, instead of negativity, positivity.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to celebrate little Harold's graduation. Family's coming over. We're chilling. We're vibing. And let's say, hey, let's do a podcast in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And here we are drinking our... What is it?
Bullet bourbon.
Bullet bourbon. Bullet bourbon. Delicious. Scrumptious. Bullet bourbon.
Sponsorship.
Yeah, we gonna tag you, Bullet Bourbon. Sorry.
Sorry.
And then we have nice little stogies. Unfortunately, we just...
Stogies from Nicaragua by Doña Elba Don Silvio Reyes. 12.
Yo, and these are smooth too.
These nice and smooth.
I don't smoke a lot of cigars, but I do enjoy a cigar every so often, and these are smooth.
I ain't no pro. I'm just trying to learn about it, because, you know, it relaxes me when I smoke one. Sleep like a baby.
Yeah, and you know what? And that cigar doesn't leave
I don't have
a bad aftertaste in your mouth like most cigars do, the heavy ones.
Yeah.
This is just smooth.
Definitely.
It's smooth. And I think that bourbon goes just right with the cigar.
Yeah, definitely.
And we were talking about that. Like, yo, how do we find, like, the right whiskey or bourbon to put together with a cigar?
With a cigar.
I don't know how you picked that one.
We were about to go spend, like, what, a couple hundred on a bottle of whiskey and another like 50 bucks on one cigar for each. We've probably been like, we would spend like almost 300 bucks on some whiskey some cigars just because of the name. But something's told us, like, I drank this before. And shout out to Diego, because he put me onto it.
Okay.
That's my boy Diego, also my boxing coach. All
right.
And, you know, he no longer lives in New York. He's up there with you guys now, up in Boynton Beach. And I was like, yo, I'm sorry. I'm like, yo, let's get this. And then something said, let's smoke this. These cigars are the ones I have already.
Yo, and it hits right.
Yeah.
We just been sipping on it for the last, I don't know how long.
Yeah.
I kind of lost track of time.
Yeah.
But we've been sipping on it. It's smooth. Doesn't go down rough. I keep saying, That's something that, you know, we're our own worst critics. I know I am my own worst critic, and I know you are, but I gotta stop saying I keep saying so.
Yeah, definitely. Like, this is something still new to me, even though I've done two podcasts before. Something like trying, like, I was like growing up a very quiet person, ready to fight, but always quiet in the background. So trying to learn something new, how to open up, speak more with people, and, you know, crowds and stuff like that.
It's definitely has been a task, you know, an obstacle to be able to look at a camera, because there's nobody up there but a machine, a phone or a camera, to be able to speak into it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a little learning curve.
Yeah.
But you know, the more that you do it, the more comfortable you get, just like the news reporters do.
Yep.
They speak into cameras all day long. So we're slowly getting better. If anybody wants to get a hold of you, how would they get a hold of you? Like, if they want to be a guest in your show.
So my email is October76IX@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me on social media, October76IX. At October76IX on Instagram. X, which is used to be Twitter, Facebook, all the social medias is the same.
Right.
Okay. And well, how about you?
Yeah, if you need to get a hold of me for some firearms training, go to protectingpalmbeach.com. You can look at my website. Always vet your instructor. A lot of people don't do that. They sign up for these classes and they just go, you know, and spend a certain amount of money and they don't get the proper instruction. Vet your instructor. Make sure your instructor's experienced. Make sure your instructor's certified and has the qualifications to be able to teach you how to properly shoot, own, and maintain a firearm. For security services, same website, protectingpalmbeach.com. You can go to Instagram at PBP Protection. You can just type in Lumeroto and it'll pop up. Same thing as Facebook, Lumeroto. And all my, you know, you'll see my stuff is public. It's not private. You don't need to request permission to get, you know, on the side or whatever. I'm not there yet, you know. And I think even if I got to a point, I wouldn't change it. I'd leave myself open because I would want to communicate from the biggest person to the lowest person, man, because everybody has something to say, and what they say is important to me.
Yeah.
So, I think we good?
We good.
I think we got our point across. Ladies and gentlemen, please leave us some comments.
Definitely.
Arrow's going to post his on October 76th. I'm going to post mine on What's Next with Lumeroto on YouTube. You have YouTube also,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, October 76th, IX on YouTube also.
So today is, Friday?
Friday.
So because of the celebration that we're having, I'm probably not going to, I might mess with it a little bit over right next day or whatever, but I probably won't put this one out till next Tuesday and Wednesday in that area. And that's episode number 18 for me.
And this will be episode number 3 for me.
And episode 3 for Harold. So, yo, support us, you know. Support, you got to support small business, man. It's not always about supporting the big franchises, you know what I'm saying? Like, the people that have the 400 million views or subscribers. You know, support those that are trying to come up. You know, we're giving you genuine information. We're honest, you know, we're dedicated to what we're doing, and we're trying to give you the best of ourselves. We're like a book. We're all individual books, and right now we're on the index. We're at the beginning, and we're slowly moving on to different chapters in our life, and we want you to be a part of those chapters and see how we progress. Right? So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to everybody, you know, for supporting us.
Tuning in, watching us, and thank you for everything, and have a great night.
We'll see you guys next time.